Okay, is everybody all comfortable? So what we do with our various lifetimes, as we begin our progression, we go through kind of like trial and error. Because it's trial and error, we don't really progress very fast. It's very slow until we reach the point of what this whole class is about tonight, the birth of the Christ within. Until we reach that point where the birth of the Christ within begins. When that begins, then it's kind of like a parabolic curve. We can hardly see any progression at all. Visualize it like a graph. And then all of a sudden we reach the point where the Christ within is born. And then it goes up very dramatically. And a large percentage of our lifetimes is spent in this trial and error period. And progression is very slow. If you meet that certain irritating person in your life, you'll find watching him, his progression, or hers, is extremely slow. You can be friends with him or associated with him, or maybe it's your boss or whatever. Your boss is probably a good one. Is that he's the same now as he was 10, 5, 20 years ago, it seems like. It seemed like the guy's just not moving at all. But it seemed like you're progressing okay. You're doing fine. But on the other hand, somebody looks at you, they may think, boy, he's not progressing so well. But we progress along through trial and error. And as we progress along through this trial and error for hundreds of lifetimes, we finally reach a point where we think, it's got to be a better way than this, you know. You feel tired within yourself, and you don't know why you're so tired, because you don't remember all those hundreds of lifetimes you've been spinning your wheels. But this tiredness is just built within you. And you sensed that there's got to be something better than this. And you have this sense that there's got to be something better than this. And when this occurs, then at this moment, a new energy begins to stir within you. If your soul sees that you're ready, it will begin to open your heart center up. And the petals, and one of the petals in your heart center will begin to unfold. And this is the beginning of the birth of the Christ within you. You'll feel a new energy come into your life. Now there's a false birth. And this is the solar plexus. Solar plexus centers down here. And when people talk about heart energies, a lot of them are really identifying with the solar plexus, which is the lower emotional self. There's a big difference between the lower emotional energies and the higher heart energies. The lower emotional energies is the more possessiveness. It has a possessiveness behind it. If this person is centered on these energies and he says, I love you, what he really means is, I want to possess you. I want to own you. I want to manage you. I want you to make me happy. That's what he means when he says, I love you, from the solar plexus. What's the difference when the person says, I love you, from the heart center? When the birth of the Christ within him is happening to him.
Unconditional love.
Okay. And how's that different than the regular love?
Still free to be yourself.
Exactly. You would love the person no matter what their actions or reactions were.
Okay. And it goes a little beyond that in the fact, what was the keynote of Christ when he was here? How did he manifest the love different than other people did? More than that.
Forgiveness.
The Christ within.
More than that.
Freedom. Without judgment. I heard that.
Okay. But he said one thing. He identified how his love was different.
Give his life.
And he did this with a ceremony he did when he washed the apostles' feet. Does anyone remember that? And he started washing the apostles' feet. And he came to Peter, and he started washing Peter's feet, and Peter says, "You're not going to wash my feet. I'll wash your feet instead." He says, "I'm to be your servant." And Jesus says, "If I can't wash your feet, then I'll have then you have nothing to do with me." And Peter says, "Well, wash my arms and chest and face. Well, wash my whole body." So, yeah, Peter didn't want to let go of his master. So, it was service. In other words, the higher love seeks to serve others. The lower love seeks to serve self. The lower love, when he says, "I love you," means, "I really want you in my life because I think you can do stuff for me. You know, you can be useful to me. You know, you can be my trophy wife or whatever. And I can show you off, and everybody think I'm successful having a good-looking woman or a guy like you, or I think you're a good cook or whatever. You know, you can serve me." But the higher love says, "I want to serve this person. I want to make this person happy." You know? And that is the interesting difference. And that was what he tried to teach the apostles when he sought to wash their feet. And Peter thought, no. He didn't understand it. He thought, well, Jesus is higher than me, so I should be serving him. And Jesus told him, that's the other way around. In the kingdom of my Father, he who is greatest is he who is the greatest servant. He says, in this world, he who is greatest is like Caesar, who gets the most people to serve him. But that's not the way it is in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, the one who is greatest is the one with the greatest power to serve. And what did he do all day long in the Gospels? He was just healing people almost all day long. Bringing people. He was always serving without asking anything in return. Curtis said he had a little story for us he wanted to tell before we move on here.
Okay. How many are feeling a little heart petal opening listening to Mr. JJ's words of wisdom? Feeling it? You know, you like Joe was saying, you go along kind of like in a flat line in your life, and then some crisis will take you in an unexpected moment and turn your life upside down, inside out, and move you in a direction that you never even knew. And I want to share an opening of my heart center that happened several years ago because of Mr. Joe Dewey. And I was, like I mentioned earlier, very happy in the Mormon church, but I was starting to bang my head against this glass ceiling, looking for more and not knowing where to find it. You've been there. You know, where is it? Where's the next step? What's going to bring me happiness and joy? And so I remember, after a long period of preparing me for this new revelation, Joe would come over and he'd teach out of the scriptures, and boy, I just, something about what he was saying and the way he was saying it, I'd just be on fire. And I go, wow, where are you getting this information? And one day he came over and he says, "There's something you need to know." I said, "Really? Man, I thought I knew it all." By now I've been listening to you. He says, "No." He says, "You think there's just one chance at this, because in the Mormon church, they don't believe in reincarnation. You have one shot at it, and that's it. And then you go into the next world, and, you know, you're in some kingdom of glory or not." And so he said, "No, I want to teach you about the principle of reincarnation." And it shocked me, the fact that he would even believe it, let alone try to indoctrinate me in this ideology that we could have more than one lifetime, because it shattered. To believe in reincarnation means that you go against the Mormon theology and you risk eternal damnation. I mean, your soul is going straight to hell, where it will burn for a very long time if you move outside of these lines, or if you crack this glass ceiling that I've been banging my head against. And so at this particular moment in my life, I had to know, was reincarnation a true principle of God. And I knew that if it was, it would shift me in a direction and catapult me like a springboard into a direction that I could not turn back from. Because once these little petals start to open, you don't want to close them. You just want to know where the next one is, and the next one, and the next one. So I remember, too, all the opposition that was around this moment in my life. My best friend was saying, Curtis, if you listen to that Joe Dewey one more time, you're going straight to hell. And his wife at the time would come over and bang on the door. You better not listen to him one more thing, you know what, or you're going to go straight to hell. Man, I was going to go straight to hell no matter what I did. I was in deep trouble. So at that moment, I thought, you know what, I got to have peace. I got to have some inner peace. So I went in my room, knelt down, and prayed. I mean, I really prayed for the first time in a long time to know the truth about reincarnation, the R word,